Mary had a little man.
The fault. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show. Turn up your mind.
Okay, you'd agree at 201-56, the piece of paper is still in your left hand, correct?
Yes.
Okay, let's advance. Let's play until 202-01, please.
Oops.
Okay, so stopping at 202-01. You have the firearm in your right hand, correct?
Yes.
And you are pointing it directly at Mr. Wright, correct?
Excuse me, Eric. We have a break. My client is...
Okay.
Lunchtime. So that is the trial of Kim Potter, the police officer who shot to death Dante Wright and claimed that she mixed up her gun with her taser. Her taser is yellow. Her gun is black. Her taser is on the left side. Her gun is on the right side. That is by design, so you can't mix up your gun and your taser. But apparently she did exactly that. And that little video right there, that little 40 seconds right there, shows that in her left hand was a piece of paper. And in her right hand was her service weapon. And her right hand yelled, taser, taser, taser. But it was gun, gun, gun. And Dante Wright is dead, dead, dead. And now she must stand trial for that. She has to stand trial for taking the life of a person who, was not qualifying for deadly force to be used against him. Dante Wright, just in case you don't remember, was doing his laundry. He was going to do his laundry. That's what he was in the car going to do. And the reason why Dante Wright was stopped in the first place is because apparently we learned Kim Potter, the police officer of 26 years. It is a sad story what happened with her. It's just a very sad story. But here's what happened with her. So Kim Potter, who is a trainer, a field officer, trainer, she trains field officers. She was training a rookie named Johnson, and she was, he wanted, according to her, she tried to blame him for this death. According to her, he was driving the cruiser, and she was in the passenger seat, and he saw Dante Wright's car, and he saw an air freshener. Remember this story? He saw a pine tree air freshener, which is prohibited equipment in your car in Minnesota. And not only did he see the Christmas tree, but he also saw expired tags. Okay, you could say that's legit, except for this. The police force, Brooklyn Center in Minnesota, the police force told their officers, do not pull anyone over for expired tags because it was the height of COVID and the Department of Motor Vehicles was closed. And so people could not get new tags. So they were instructed, the officers were, don't pull anybody over for expired tags. They're not in circulation. People won't have them. It's not considered something that you should enforce at this time. Now, she knew that. She totally knew that. The rookie apparently didn't, but she was training him that day. Now, her testimony is something like she sort of kind of told him that, but didn't really tell him that. But, you know, he wanted to do it. He wanted to do this traffic stop. And she went along with it. She let him do it. So he pulled over the car, and she was critiquing the whole time what he was doing. And when he pulled over the car, he ran a background check, and she testifies that what they found on Dante Wright was a very low-level warrant. It wasn't, an emergency. It wasn't anything violent. It was a very low-level drug offense. It was probably possession of marijuana or some such thing. She doesn't actually say. But she says, you know, it was not, anything flashing red. It wasn't a big deal. It was nothing. And, she would never. They asked her point blank, if you were alone that day and not training the rookie, would you have pulled Dante Wright over? And her answer was no. So just know that, okay? So the rookie pulls him over, and so she's like, okay, I'll go through the motions, and I'll critique the way he does this. But she says she sees a look on the rookie's face. She sees a look on his face, which, by the way, no one testified to, not even the rookie, that he was scared of Dante Wright, or that there was any reason to be scared of Dante Wright, that Dante Wright was armed, because he wasn't. He was on his way to laundromat, is what he was doing. And so the defense tries to clean this mess up because it's on video. You understand that, right? You see the video. I just played it for you. I could play it again for you. But in her left hand is a piece of paper. On that piece of paper is what the rookie wrote down on his pad. And what that is Dante Wright's date of birth and his name. That's what's on that piece of paper. And it's in her left hand. In her right hand is her service weapon. And she yells, taser, taser, taser. But she's pointing a gun right at him. And you could see he's in the car with his hands up. Here, I'll show it to you again. It's very short. He's in the car. I want you to see in a very interesting jean outfit, something I have not seen since the 80s, matching denim and matching pants. Yeah, it's interesting.
Called a Canadian tuxedo, Randy.
Right. I mean, you know, it's a fashion crime, but it's not punishable by death. But there he is committing this fashion crime. And so you'll see that his hands are up in the car.
Okay, you'd agree at 201:56, the piece of paper is still in your left hand, correct?
Yes.
Okay, let's advance. Let's play until 202:01, please. Okay.
Hands
so
are up.
Stopping at 202:01. You have the firearm in your right hand, correct?
Yes.
And you are pointing it directly at Mr. Wright, correct?
We have a break.
Lunchtime, everybody. Time to break. Okay. Time to break. It's getting too intense for the jury. So we have to break. Just end this right now. Okay. So there's that. Now, what's really sad about this, and it is sad. It's sad that Dante Wright is dead. It's sad that he was, you know, committing a fashion crime. She's not the fashion police, however. And by the way, the Canadian tuxedo is not punishable by death. Although, you know, it's up for debate. But she's been serving on this Brooklyn Center Police Force in Minnesota for 26 years. She has never had one single complaint from any citizen in that, jurisdiction ever. And she is a field training officer. So you got these conflicting things going on in the jury's mind, right? Here's this woman who is very sympathetic. There's this woman who, you know, all she ever wanted was to be a police officer. This is what she testifies to, that she decided she wanted to be a police officer when she was still in grade school, and a police officer came to her school and taught them bike safety, and she remembered that officer's name, and that's all she ever wanted to be. And then she joined like the Boy Scouts, you know, as a girl, but to the Explorers, which is, you know, a subsection of the Boy Scouts, so that she could learn about firefighting, she could learn about policing, she could learn all these things, and she did. And then she went to college and she majored in criminal justice with a minor in geriatric, liberty or something. Very interesting. But anyway, it's very clear that she only ever wanted to be a police officer. And it's very clear that she has never shot anybody in the line of duty ever. She has never, ever deployed her taser in the line of duty ever in 26 years. And then this all happens. And the officer who's responsible for training on, you know, weapon handling and tasers and traffic stop, she ends up blowing this kid away. Now, those are the facts. It is a sad, sad state of affairs. Now, if you recognize the prosecutor, when we come back, I'll play you another clip. And if you recognize the prosecutor, that is Erin Eldridge. Erin Eldridge is the same, she's the deputy assistant prosecutor that you saw in the Derek Chauvin trial. So obviously there's something very unique to Minnesota right now in the policing that's going on there. And this could actually be a wake-up call, two of them in a row, in Minnesota.